Radio NFM, die stem van die Namakwa mense, moedig die vryheid van spraak en die uiting van uiteenlopende sienings aan. Sienings van luisteraars en ateliergaste is dus hulle eie en nie die van Radio NFM nie. Radio NFM neem alle programme op aan. Herhalende opmerkings, kreetaal, discriminerende sienings of skeltaal sal ook nie geduld word.
Sala nathi sihlale nawe nalapho ke ingxonxo ke ithi siyaqhubeka kumagumbi okufundela nalapho ke malungana nembali yaseMzantsi Afrika nokubonakala ohluke kakhulu kungekudala kodwa ingaba loo nto na ilungile uhlaziyo apho kwe-curriculum caps kokujoliswe kugxileni kwimiba yaseAfrika kunye nokugxininisa ngokuzinca ngokunzulu ezikolweni ngelixa abanye bebona oku njengento ethatha ixesha elide abanye babuza ukuba ingaba na siyashiya na iindawo ezibalulekileyo zembali ukuze apho sincede sihambe ngaloo ndaba yelomxhonglo sithi ke apho ke enxabeni sinaye ke intatheli kunye nomhlalutyo wezenkcubeko uMiss Romantha Porter. Miss Porter, good afternoon and thank you very much for joining us on this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Let us all get to a part of, we would like to know from your perspective, how do you interpret this proposition of the new or revised history curriculum?
I definitely welcome it. I welcome it with caution, however. People also have it confused that this is the final draft as it stands, but South Africans need to understand that they all need to participate in this public commentary phase that it's in right now. And I say I welcome it with caution because there are a couple of concerns around the current draft and just what the preliminary draft of it looks like right now. From the education sector, I've heard concerns about limitations in the classroom, of how teachers will be trained. Then just from, obviously, you know, the one thing that most South Africans are always wary of when it comes to any political agenda is whose story will be centered. And I think people have seen from my social media that I always question this. Whose perspective is being told? And there's also a misunderstanding that this will mean that there is no Eurocent or Euro history in the curriculum. It doesn't necessarily mean that. So there are a couple of misunderstandings that's going around about the draft as it is, but I think concerns aside, we are still in the, I want to say, massaging phase of the draft, and that Africans can still play a part. I speak under correction, but I think this week is the last week for public commentary, and this is where ordinary citizens can actually voice what they would like to see the future generations learn about.
Mm. Would you say that there is some of gaps within these revised curriculum currently looking to the history which is being taught? Is it adequately reflecting to the complexities of South Africa's past, or has it been also, or will it be too narrow, looking at it, having also some of those concerns of political influences?
I think, as it currently stands, there are concerns about global history and how intersectional our histories are. It is important to look at ancient histories of civilizations, but the importance there is to understand that even if we look at ancient civilizations in Africa and Southern Africa, they were still interconnected with the rest of the world, such as China and Portugal, which were trading during those times, ancient civilization times with Africa. So global history is important to take into consideration. The main concern is that it needs to be Afrocentric. For very long, South Africans, Africans on the continent have perceived themselves, their identities, their sense of belonging in their own space, own continent, own country, through the lens of European foreign travelers that came here and told the world what Africa was. And because Africans, our history is passed down through oral history and through storytelling, it is very often dismissed. And that's what I see now with, you know, the counter narratives of why this is a bad idea. Speaking of, can oral history be trusted? Can it be interrogated as gracefully and as intimately as you can with literature? And that is a vantage point that most people shouldn't look at this some because our history is alive very much. I think the other thing I wanted to say, I just want to throw it forward, is that I hope that within whatever curriculum syllabus they come up with, that it becomes an interactive subject, that learners understand that history is currently being made, that archiving of history as we see it and experience it in 2026 is as important as looking back, because history keeps repeating itself in cycles. And a lot of sentiment from learners is usually that history is boring, why should we learn about the past? And I think that might lie in the fault of how it is being taught. So I hope that, you know, stuff like coding, stuff like technology, even stuff like AI, you know, we can't necessarily run away from it, but technology is here to stay. And so incorporating history in that might be a way to get our learners excited about their history again. Mm. I think in court, it's very important that we do these interpretations of history now, so that our sense of identity when we walk into any room is that we know where we come from, and we know that we've interpreted and critically thought about our own history and those of the rest of the globe.
Earlier this week, we've spoken to a history educator, and he expressed that he's a bit concerned of some of the indigenous groups in this revised history. They are being left out, particularly when it comes to your Namakwa Isan communities, basically.
I think I have so many points on this, but I think what's important for me is to understand is that people need to understand that history is complex, and history is very often regional itself, right? We are looking at a national curriculum, so of course, you cannot satisfy all regional histories in a national curriculum. Again, I will go back to my point that public commentary and pushing for your region to have some fraction of that history curriculum is equally as important as shouting about it online and not doing anything. So I think active participation in this process is as important as what is in it. Then secondly, if I can make an example about the recent reburial of the so-called, and I say so-called because we do not know what they identified as, but the so-called Khoyan San reburial in the Northern Cape. It was so significant. And when I posted about it online, and that, you know, it's significant because it's near the burial ground of Kinderle, about 80% of South Africans were, what is Kinderle, right? And this is all because we have amnesia. Part of us have amnesia, but part of us just do not know. And this is why it's important for us to understand the role of regional participation in this. My suggestion is that the history curriculum should be an interactive subject, right? So let's look at the future and tools to make it exciting. But it should also be, it should also have extracurriculum project attached to it. You know, projects like the school oral history project that can be used outside of the classroom times. By the way, parents are going to learn just as much as their children. So this is a chance for both parents and their children to get involved.
But most of it all, as we're heading to the door, what would you like, especially for the policymakers, to better understand about the realities of teaching history in South African classes beyond the whole inputs which are going to be received? And some may feel that some of the inputs may be left out.
Yes, unfortunately, that is the sad reality of teaching in a classroom. There are limitations in terms of just how much you can get across without overwhelming students. So you know, people need to understand that reality. The other thing that people need to understand, that it's good to ask what political agenda is this about, right? But it's also equally important to say, hey, let's include people like Neville Alexander. Hey, what are you looking at in terms of the art and culture sector? People like Diana Ferrer, Zoe Wickham, Neville Alexander, John Carney, all of these people in the art sector are just as much responsible for the national question that made us end up where we are right now. So the framing about it centering the ANC and its movements, it's valid to question those things. I think we also need to be careful not to be essentialist and turn into ourselves so that we don't have a conversation with the global histories of the world. And then lastly, equipping our teachers and making sure that whatever we as a collective, as a country, decided that we want to see in that curriculum actually reaches our children and makes an impact. that's important to me.
Loike ibithi ke ngunondaba ke apha nomhlalutyo wezinkcubeko Romantha Porter ke sabelana ngeembono zakhe kunye ngokungakhathali okuthi kubalulekileyo malungana notshintsho ke apho lucetywayo lecurriculum yembali yomzantsi Afrika. Miss Porter, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Jengo ke nathi ke apho ke oluyile ke lohlala apho ke luthi ngeyona nto ebalulekileyo luthi luvakale ke nalapho ekhaya ke kuyacaca ukuba ke incoko ke isekude ukuba ke igqitywe kwaye ke amazwi ootishala aya kuba ke ngumqobo ekwambeni ke apho okuza kuthi kulandela. Nalapho ke kuyonke loo nto ke ungathi ke nawe ke uye ke phana ke kwiwebsayithi ye-Department of Education, Basic Education, basically phanake uthike wabelane ke ngezimvo zakho ngokunjalo nje phanake ku education.gov.za. nalapho ke oku ke kuthi ke beyiveki yokugqibela ke lena ke bethunana apho ke wena ke ukhaya ungathi ke unikezele ezakhe izimvo na ucinga ntoni na umamelulo Radio NFM, the voice of the Namaqua people.